My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's August 29th, 2024. We have an excellent show planned for you today, including General Manager of the Commanders, Adam Peters, on this program a little over 2 hours from now at 4:15. So make sure you're listening at that time. We'll get to ask Adam Peters all of the things we've been wondering about, many of you guys have been wondering about. We're also going to preview the college football season today with Danny Cannell, who stops through at 3 o'clock in 1 hour, and Ben Standing of The Athletic does a really cool annual piece where he puts out questions to agents for a survey all over the NFL, and the first of a couple of pieces that he's going to write on the responses he got dropped in The Athletic today. We'll talk to him about that and the Commanders coming up at 6 o'clock. Right here on The Fan. We'll also be giving away tickets to see Kevin Hart. He has a show at DAR Constitution Hall in town. Those tickets today available for you right at 6 o'clock when Ben Standig joins us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Danny, how are you?
Dude, this is a big one. I like it. You just listed a whole bunch of things that are pretty awesome, right? It's happening. We are now in the season is starting. The rosters are formed, barring something unforeseen. We are go time. Dylan Cruz hit a nuke last night. We'll get to it in a second. Just all of a sudden, we went through the darkness, my friend. We did it. Post-pandemic, everybody's losing. Some teams are rebuilding. Some teams refuse to rebuild. Whatever. A lot of losing, a lot of bad. All of a sudden, the arrows are starting to trend up for the local squadrons, and I like it.
Yeah, I was actually talking to someone on like a business call about this today, and they're like, how are things going with the show? How are things going, you know, at the station? And I said, it's a really fun time to be talking about sports in D.C., and if you look at it from a 10,000-foot helicopter view, that has not necessarily been the case over the last couple of years. There was optimism and excitement that Dan Snyder might sell, and then a big party that we threw, literally and figuratively, last summer when he did sell. But really, prior to getting a high enough pick to draft a quarterback with the potential of a Jaden Daniels, getting a new owner and building a front office was awesome, but until you have the chance to be good at quarterback, you really don't have anything. The Commanders now have that for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals have been in what has been a long, not fun, rebuild. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel with James Wood playing like a star and now Dylan Cruz getting to the big leagues over the last couple of nights. Two excellent, young, future impact major league players. The Capitals had an awesome offseason. We're closing in on hockey a little over a month from now. We'll be on the precipice of the NHL season, and preseason hockey will be played at Capital One Arena at that time. But they made a ton of moves and really tried to, I think, push some chips back in to make sure that they're competing into the playoffs and maybe for one more run with Alex Ovechkin, which we'll be talking about over the coming several weeks. The Wizards are terrible.
Yeah, listen, people are going to make their jokes, and that's fine. They're not going to be any good.
I mean, they're going to be horrendous, but maybe they get Cooper Flagg.
Well, but right out of my mouth. At least it's for a purpose now. At least it's not Ernie Grunfeld selling the future to win one more game or just sort of middling, pathetic, trying to build from the middle nonsense. They're actually playing the game. You can be bad as long as it's for a purpose, and there's a purpose here. I love it. So everybody's doing kind of the things that I've always wanted done when it comes to trying to get good. It's happening.
Football's going to carry us in this first segment, in most segments, in most of the day, with Adam Peters coming on the show and so much going on around the NFL. But we'd be remiss if we didn't start with Dylan Crews hitting his first missile at the Major League level last night. 4 for his first 11 in his first 3 games. The Nats getting a series win against the Yankees. Danny, I needed a cigarette, and I don't smoke, after the first couple innings of baseball last night. James Wood with 2 hits and 3 stolen bases and an RBI knock, and Crews had already homered, and Jacob Young was running wild on the base paths. All the rookies, all the kids were beating up on the New Yorkers as the Nats took a series from the Yankees.
Sorry about it.
It was a lot of fun, and it all got started in the leadoff spot, kicking off the game with Dylan Crews in just his 3rd career game.
And the pitch swung on it high in the air to left field. Verdugo going back. Still back to the warning track, to the wall, and it is gone! Goodbye! Bang! Zoom goes Dylan Crews with a majestic, soaring fly ball that just kept on going. Into the back of the Yankees bullpen in left center field. A game leadoff. Home run, his first of the major leagues.
I got a text from a buddy who's in baseball, who's as plugged in and just studies it as close as anybody that I know. And he said it perfectly last night. I'm sitting in my house. It's like close to 11 o'clock. He said, dude, he's like, I love Dylan Crews. He's been studying him, you know, since LSU. Mm-hmm. But he said he's going to do something every single night that's going to help your team win. And that's the early
vibe. That's the summary.
It's only been 3 games, but I mean, you could go back to when LSU won a national title or what he did in minor league clubhouses. Maybe there's no elite trait. Maybe he's not going to hit 40 homers or steal 50 bases or win a gold glove in center field, where I think he's really good, by the way. But he does everything well, and it's not like what we would call 50s in the scouting industry of a 20-80 scouting scale. 50 is average, 60 is plus, 70 is elite, you know, 80 is world-class, Hall of Fames type stuff. Everything is 60s. Like, he's really good at everything.
Yep.
He's a really good hitter. He's got really solid power. He's a really good defensive player. He's really good with his arm strength that he's been clocked almost 95 already from right field. Made a great running catch in right the other night. He's already showing it. Now, there could be an 0-for-14 or a 1-for-20 coming. It's not like he was dominating at AA or AAA, but you and I make this case all the time. Just like progress isn't linear, you know, numbers are not just bound to go down at a certain rate at each level. The fact that pitchers throw it over the plate more in the big leagues helps some guys, mm-hmm. right? The fact that he's really good against velocity, he's seeing more of it, maybe is going to be a benefit to him in some way. We'll see. But through 3 games, 2 wins, first hit on Tuesday night in a multi-hit game, first homer last night in a multi-hit game, back-to-back, 4 for his first 11, already has a steal, already has a really nice play in right. You're seeing it, man. This yep. is what we all were hoping for when he was drafted number 2 overall.
Yeah, that's why we're here. It's the whole point. Last night, it's on display. No CJ Abrams in the lineup, but Mackenzie Gore was filthy. I thought he was really good again. Again, they win the game. I always love beating the Yankees. I like when they lose. I like when the Nats win. That's fine. My big takeaways, I've got like 6 or 7 things that I would like to see. I saw most of them last night, and you also get a W out of it. But you mentioned it with Dylan Crews. That's the perfect summation. You go to the ballpark, and he's going to do something that helps. It could be in an 0-for-3 with a couple of punch-outs game, right? There's going to be something that he does that's productive. That's just a good baseball player. And I know I sound like Scott McLuhan talking about football player. That's a baseball player. Sorry about it. There's going to be something that he does. Whether there was a play the other night, not just the really nice running catch that you've mentioned up against the wall, but what would be tricky for someone that doesn't play that outfield spot. He's in right field. It's an opposite spin, so a right-hander hitting a ball that slices, you know, kind of cuts past you. If you haven't done that route a whole lot, it's weird. So you go back turning over your right shoulder, they're going to run back that way, and then it's going to spin behind you. Guys have been corkscrewed and turned around and dropped balls. He made it look like the most effortless, easy, simple Cadillac big league catch. And I went, he made a really hard thing, which he's going to do a lot of, look like it's the simplest task in the world, like he's playing catch out and back in the backyard with his dad. And you go, that's what this is, right? The really hard made to look easy or attainable or just normal. This isn't, and he's not normal.
The Nats are off today. They'll be back in action right here on The Fan tomorrow. The Cubs are coming to town, and all of a sudden, the Cubbies are hot, trying to make a playoff push. Got a chance to be a wild card team. So if you're going out to Nats Park, probably a good time to remind you that we got some gear that you might want down the stretch of the season here. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, both in the lineup. Upgrade your gear. The latest from The Fan's merch store. We've got a Cruz Wood 2024 election style shirt. We've got your We've Got Wood hoodies if you want those for the fall. And fittingly, after last night, Cruz Missile t-shirts as well. Go to 1067thefanshop.com if you want to get your hands on that gear. Before we get back to football, and again, it's Grant and Danny, home of Adam Peters exclusively today as he joins us at 4:15 right here on The Fan. Make sure to spread the word to your buddies, please. I'm going to have to get over this. And I need your help, Danny. I need Darius to help me. I need Clary, feel free to tell me you're doing too much. You're annoying me. I can't deal with the strike zone for James Wood anymore. I can't do it. I am so bothered by it. I'm now so obsessed over it that in this imperfect thing where occasionally a ball is going to get called a strike, like my blood pressure raises, I can feel the anxiety picking back up and my anger, and like if you're around me, I become insufferable. It's absurd. The pitches that get called strikes against this guy. And I tweeted about this a couple weeks ago, and a bunch of people sent me some research and some pieces that have been written about this as it pertains to Aaron Judge, who's the only other guy like, basically, James Wood in the sport. 6'7 plus. And Judge, for years, has dealt with this, where balls below the strike zone get called strikes, because it's an actual problem that the umpires cannot adjust their eyes quick enough and figure out.
Yeah, there aren't that many Richie Sexons or you know, but 6 foot, 7 foot game, monsters, yeah.
There was a six-pitch at bat. James Wood struck out. He did not lift the bat off his shoulder, which in and of itself is hilarious, but that's it. If you know James Wood, you know that's possible. He is here to get his pitch, and he will not swing at stuff that's off the plate. He was ahead in the count 5-0 and took a strike in the middle of the plate, and he struck out, which is to say, five balls, one strike. He should have been at first two times.
Yeah.
And not like close, like, oh, that could have gone either way. Like, five straight pitches that were not really close to the strike zone. And he's ahead 5-0 in what was actually a 3-2 count. And then he took a third strike. And I'm losing my mind and my just steam coming from my ears. I need to get over it because it just happens. But what I really need is an electronic strike zone because it's absolutely absurd. He's going to be so much better even when he gets that, because I don't know anyone who gets screwed out of more pitches over the last month or so in baseball than that guy.
So your version of that, Let me rephrase. My version of that.
Like the thing you can't get over?
Yeah. They won last night. What's the headline? That base running thing. The base running nonsense at the major league level. Trying to steal and getting thrown out. I can live with that. Even you know, getting thrown out at third, it's the cardinal rule. With this group that doesn't hit a lot of home runs and it's tough to get base hits, being at third base with two outs, that's worth it to me. You maybe force some action from the pitcher, or maybe take certain pitches off. Maybe you get a wild pitch or a pass ball or something. Getting thrown out stealing, I'm fine with, right? If you're stealing and you get picked off, I can even live with that. It's the pickoffs. It's whatever this Benny Hill music nonsense is, where they do stuff little leaguers would get yelled at for. Like, oh my God, this is the major leagues. This is my thing. I'm screaming again. It's in a win. They end up not needing the run, although you probably could have used an insurance run or two there. But nobody seems to have either any wherewithal to fix it, or it's this like slippery slope where one guy does something, then everyone has to feel like they do something because there's pressure. I don't know what the fix is. I just know I was benched for less millions of times before I learned my lesson to cut doing that crap, to cut it out. It's so embarrassing.
It was the worst base running play I've ever seen in my life. Not an exaggeration. In the big leagues, I guess I should say, although I'm not sure I've seen anything worse at a youth baseball park. Just an utter shebingus and a complete debacle. All right, let's we'll wrap up the baseball conversation here, but let's play this clip from last night because this was just a disaster on the base paths. In a win, in a fun series, but it's entertaining almost to hear the call because the putout was like 7-8-2-6-4-3-9-2-1-6-7 if you're scoring at home.
It's a passcode.
And the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well to deep center field. Judge going back, way back to the warning track. It's over his head and one hop off the wall. Gallo held up, now rounding third. Now he's going to have to keep coming. He's going to be caught in a rundown. Now Gallo getting back to third. They have Yepes in a rundown between second and third. Now Gallo breaks for the plate. He's in a rundown. And Yepes is running back towards second. They're going to tag Gallo out. And Yepes caught between second and third. But has to go back to second, and Tana caught between first and second is tagged out. Yepes ends up on second base.
That's a disaster.
The succinct Jags punch to the stomach there is perfect. By the way, what a call by Charlie.
Well, let's play horse race or baseball play.
I mean, insider baseball. Like, there's plenty of things over the course of a game that I would feel okay about calling right now. That's one of those you need the reps for. There's just no way to call that without stepping all over yourself and sounding like a fool if you haven't been doing it since day one, like Charlie Slows has. That was a very, very good call and a great ending to that call with Jags saying it was a disaster. But, yeah, absolutely wild. On to the NFL. Jacoby Brissett named the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Drake May will sit. Do you think we see Drake May in September, or would you say October or later?
If they play, yeah, week four is what I have in mind. Now, what's that based on? Just a weird gut feel, because I think they're going to struggle at the gate, and that'll be like the exciting thing. So I think it's like week four or week five, somewhere in there.
They open with the Bengals a week from Sunday. Then they are hosting Seattle. They are at the Jets. Week four would be in San Francisco. I'll say they do not debut against the Niners in
maybe
that game.
Maybe it's week five.
Then they host the Dolphins and the Texans back-to-back. I think they play them late October. Skip ahead to like week seven when they go to Jacksonville. You could drop them in against Jacksonville, the Jets, the Titans, the Bears, the Rams in that stretch. Just a weird situation where because their inexperienced head coach has been pretty forthcoming with answers, maybe more so than you'd even like to be, he has said Drake May outperformed Jacoby Brissett and that they were competing for the job. So you've acknowledged there was a competition, that the guy that was better didn't win the competition. You have said this. What was the point of the competition? And everyone says, oh, well, I understand what he's saying. He's saying that Drake May outplayed him, but they're taking everything into account, including body of work and your career. Well, then it wasn't a real competition. If it was a real competition and you're acknowledging that the young guy was better, you'd start the young guy. I actually still think it's a fine thing for them to do because their line is terrible and they need to sort it out, and you might as well spend a month doing that before Drake May takes the field. So all is fine that ends well here if Jacoby Brissett can play decent football. But just a strange last month. They named Brissett basically the starter going into camp. Then they opened up the competition because May looked better. Then they said May had a better preseason in what was an open competition. And now they're naming the other guy the starter anyway.
And Ron Rivera called and gave you a thumbs up. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, but they thought they had it sorted because their evaluation of Drake May was great prospect, probably needs a bit of work. I think he showed up on campus and either dramatically improved some of the things they were worried about or showed that he's actually probably more ready to go right now than maybe they thought. So it sort of changed their eye line a little bit. But I think they went with the original plan.
College football started unofficially, week zero, they call it, this past weekend. But for all intents and purposes, kicks off tonight with week one. Danny Cannell's going to join us to break down the whole college slate this weekend and all the big storylines going into the season at 3. If you haven't heard Danny on the show talking college ball in the past, make sure you're listening. He is tremendous, just fantastic talking about the game at that level. But some really good games tonight, including one that I'm particularly interested in, Deion Sanders and Colorado hosting North Dakota State, one of the top teams at the non-D1 level. That's an 8 o'clock kick. It'll be televised on ESPN this evening. Number 11, Missouri, is hosting a game tonight. Number 24, NC State, has a tilt at their place as well. I've actually been to that stadium, weirdly enough, for a Caps outdoor game against the Hurricanes. Carter Finley, I think it's called. in Raleigh, North Carolina. But should be a fun night of college football, including with Colorado taking center stage for the first of many times this season, with Dion and company being such a lightning rod for all things content.
I can't help it. I don't want to tune in. I don't want to reward that kind of behavior, but I'm fascinated by what Colorado is and is doing. And I guess maybe that's the point, right? Like how brash and abrasive and how, Dion doing things that I don't necessarily approve of, barring people from asking questions or whatever, if they've offered critical takes about him or his program or otherwise.
For people that don't know this story, there's a guy that they don't like how he writes about Dion Sanders in the program. He's got nicknames for Dion. He pokes fun at guys, and it seems like it's taking personal shots maybe as a way to describe it, although it could be a bridge too far. But nothing that is like completely unheard of, right? It's not like he's doing something awful. He just clearly doesn't like the way they're running the program. And they have told him that he cannot be a part of the press conferences.
He's barred.
And cover the team.
Yeah, I generally can't stand the college football coach bully. I hated it when Urban Meyer used to do it. He would berate people for not being cheerleaders for his dumb Florida program, where people were, now we now know, we're committing crimes like all the time under his employer as players in his charge. So stuff like that, I never approve of, but I'm morbidly fascinated to see what Colorado is.
Yesterday, when we were on the air, Noah Brown signed with the Commanders. Didn't really get a chance to touch the folks and get their thoughts on the move, though. So we could do that moving ahead this hour next. How much do you think Noah Brown, the brand new wide receiver coming over from the Houston Texans, is going to impact the Commanders? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Before we get into Noah Brown, the newest Commanders, we welcome you back on G&D. A reminder, 4:15 today, Adam Peters, GM of the Commanders, right here on this show. And one other housekeeping reminder, Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday, we will have our Grant and Danny Fantasy Football Listener League Draft. It's just a great opportunity to get together with some friends of the show and some listeners who check out the program day in and day out. Anybody can come, though, and hang out with us. We're going to be at a restaurant, at a bar, and you can come take part in the festivities with us, even if you don't make the league, if you don't want to be in the league. We're just talking football.
Just hanging out. Eating some wings.
Exactly. It's going to be a blast. So if you want to be in the league, it is not too late. We should let everybody know that. We are closing down. Darius, I'm going to tag you in on this. I have made you officially the bad guy this year. We are closing out any opportunity to get into the league tonight, right?
That'll be correct. By the end of tonight, we'll just go ahead and call it midnight. Midnight tonight, your last opportunity to be able to submit your form for the Grant and Danny trivia contest that we're doing. That'll be located on our Facebook page, the Grant and Danny Facebook page, as well as you guys' individual Twitter accounts.
Pin tweet, top of my account right now, at Grant H. Paulson. I'm sure the same for Danny, at Funny Danny. If you want to be in the listener league, I have a link for you right there. You can go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny. And Darius, you put together a little quiz on interesting tidbits from the show over the last year that if you listen enough, you'll do very well on. The top 10 make the league, I believe.
That'll be correct. The top 10 will make the league. We will do the scoring tomorrow, and we will announce those winners tomorrow afternoon on the show.
That's awesome.
Yep. Okay. That's fun, man.
So get in by midnight tonight, take the quiz, make your attempt at getting into the league. But regardless, if you're in or you're not, you can plan on Tuesday night being with us. And the big draft, the hangout, it's a good hang. Come kick it. It's going to be a good time.
Good opportunity to heckle, too, right? Because if you're not drafting, you're not making any wrong picks. So as we walk up there with the sticker and slap it on the big board, even if you think it's a great pick, you don't have to say so. You could say it's bad. You say you're stupid and you're fat, Danny, and you smell and your haircut's weird. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you want to do, you can do.
Highline R&R is where we're drafting on Tuesday night.
Love that spot.
It's on Crystal Drive in Arlington, Virginia, over in the Crystal City area. And we will be there throughout the evening on Tuesday for our fantasy draft. So those are the details. Can't say we didn't try to help you get into the league. Now, on to Noah Brown, the wide receiver cut by the Texans, signed by the Commanders, who at one point last season got an opportunity with a bunch of injuries and shined in a good offense with C.J. Stroud feeding him the football. He had a two-game stretch last year where he was the best wide receiver in the league statistically. Went 6 for 153 and then 7 grabs for 172 and a touchdown against the Bucs and Bengals, respectively. The rest of the season, he was largely not much of a factor. But he has flashed. He has shown that. He is big. And that's the key, I think, to him coming to D.C., Danny.
Yep.
The size, right? He's going to provide something that is lacking in the receiver room. He could take the lid off the defense. And you and I both think he's going to play very quickly.
I do, too. Now, how fast he fully gets up to speed and he's integrated into everything, I don't know the answer. I don't. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know if he's got a photographic memory and it's encyclopedic within 24 hours, or if it takes him, like a normal human being, a little while to learn the brand new language, where to line up and how, learn the quarterback that he's going to be playing with, scheme, design, what's asked of him each and every play. It's probably not fair to say, all right, on Sunday, you're going to get 10 targets. Let's see what happens. That's a tough ask for anybody. But I think this is their second best wide receiver. I don't know if that's inflammatory to people, but I don't think much of that room outside of Terry McLaurin. And I think opposite him, this is the perfect, you know, they're obviously, you know, more marquee players, bigger stars as number two receivers. But this is the kind, by design, of player I would try to have opposite McLaurin. I would have the big, deep threat. The guy that scares you to take the top off the defense to let Terry work where I would want him to work, which is that 20 yards and in. That's where I think he's really, really good. And as a technician, that's what I want. I want the deep threat. Look no further than a guy that averaged, what was it, 17-plus yards per catch last year? Please and thank you.
I don't think it should be controversial at all to say he's their second-best wide receiver. I mean, we're a long ways removed from him being a seventh-round pick. I don't think that's how he's necessarily viewed anymore. He broke out in Dallas. Remember, this isn't a one-trick pony.
Yeah, two different stops.
Or really a one-hit wonder, I guess is what I was looking for, where he just suddenly emerged for a couple of games with the Texans. He actually was better the year before, again, climbing a depth chart where he wasn't supposed to be a big deal in Dallas and making over 40 catches for over 550 yards. then on a new team and a new offense that, to your point, he had to learn pretty quickly with Houston, he was able to emerge and have some huge games. If you look at PFF grading, not gospel, but just part of what I would say is an insight that I want added to every puzzle that we're going to put together here on the show, Terry McLaurin's grade last year as a player on offense was 75.1. Noah Brown's was 74.3. Terry McLaurin's receiving grade last year was 74.5, which is really, really good. Noah Brown's was 75, slightly higher graded. Now, they don't take sample size into account. I'm not suggesting he's a better player than Terry McLaurin. Deami Brown, if he played 11 plays last year and played them all very well and ran good routes and made a couple nice blocks, would grade out very high as well. My point is just to say, it doesn't really matter what metric you're looking at. He should grade out higher than a guy in Deami Brown who caught 12 balls last season. Or Olamide Zaccheaus, who despite having an excellent camp and a terrific preseason, and I feel very good about what he's going to provide in the slot and around the line of scrimmage, Noah Brown's been more successful, more of a factor in the league the last couple of years than Olamide Zaccheaus. So I don't think you should get any heat for that take at all. That does not seem hot to me. That's not even warm. That's just a take.
Well, people who are so reverential towards, you know, front offices, and they decide that a guy before he's even played an NFL down, like a Luke McCaffrey, or, you know, because they've seen Byron Pringle, or now Deami Brown's going to break out, of which I'm not going to hold my breath on. No. Those are the guys. So if you're one of those in fill in the blank executive we trust, automatically whatever pill they hand you, you just swallow. Maybe you might be offended by that. So I guess maybe that's who I'm referring to when I say that was my semi hot take. But this is how I would design it. Right. If I'm able to sort of, you know, take the names off it, I'm doing Madden create a player. I would go, I'd have one receiver that's quicker work, again, kind of works that 20 yards and in, great hands, tough as nails, does everything asked of him like McLaurin. And then I'd have the deep threat. Right now, ideally, that guy's got some size as a deep threat as well. And that's what Noah Brown is. So history's been filled with a number of players that have had lesser roles in stacked rooms. Right, think Pierre Garçon in Indianapolis, for example. You're the number three with Reggie Wayne and some other studs there, or you know a guy that's a running back in some places that he goes to another venue and gets a better shot, or a guy that's a part time starter goes somewhere else and thrives. History is littered with guys where you come from pretty good places with pretty good rooms. You're capable, but you're just a victim of numbers. You go somewhere else with a larger role and you can thrive. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, catch 1,200 yards worth of balls. What I am saying is I think he's going to help a lot.
Totally. A couple other numbers that I just think are interesting, and I'm only using McLaurin as the comparison because he's the guy here that we know is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin last year, after the catch, struggled a little bit.
Yep.
To the point where when we talked to Dan Quinn, we have not talked to Dan Quinn on this show, but when the media talked to Dan Quinn in town, one of the things he said that McLaurin was really working on all offseason going into camp was the ability to make plays after the catch, to extend plays, to break tackles, to do something after he caught the football. Last year, yards after catch per reception for Terry McLaurin, 4.5 on average. Noah Brown, 6.7. Now, that's 2+ yards. It does not sound like a big deal. From an average standpoint, that is massive.
It's a massive deal.
Now, that speaks to the scheme and the offense and probably how wide open he was and how much separation he got, maybe even ball placement from a quarterback, Stroud being better than Howell, obviously. There's a lot of things that go into that. But that's not nothing. I mean, this is a guy that was a rumbling big presence after the catch despite his size. You mentioned 17.2 per reception. McLaurin last year, 12.7. Different offense, not as prolific, but he can take the lid off a little bit. Now, flip side of this, an area where he struggled, I thought, a tad. Last year, McLaurin was graded with 4 drops via PFF in 128 targets in a 79-catch season. 4 drops, 128 targets. On just 54 targets, Noah Brown dropped 5 passes last year. They played together at Ohio State. These two guys, they know each other well. They're both Buckeyes. One was drafted in the 3rd round. It looks like should have been drafted probably in the 1st or 2nd round. In Terry McLaurin's case, probably the 1st round. Noah Brown was a 7th round pick. So I'm not pretending like he's coming in here to be AJ Green or something.
Right.
That's not what he is. But there's some things I really like. So next, let's do this. Over or under on projections for him. Let's set him at 49.5 catches and 499.5 yards. Using his last couple seasons plus the projected role here, we'll come up with basically a 50 catch, 500 yard, standard wide receiver two in a not great offense kind of numbers. Would you go over or under that? We'll do that next. And we want to hear from you guys, your thoughts on Noah Brown and the Commanders. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We did it. We got back to football season, people. I'm going to drive out, hit the Beltway toward Tyson's Corner to Marshall High School, watch a little high school football tonight.
Here we go.
Love a high school game.
Not too far from old Randy Duye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Welcome to bring the boys out to see the Annandale Adams.
Exeter 2 off the old Beltway.
Get a hot dog wrapped in foil. Big fan of popcorn. A little butter.
Is that Marshall? Is where you're headed?
Marshall. The Annandale Adams are on the road tonight.
Against the Statesmen.
Got to go watch that matchup.
Got to see it.
Or some are saying the biggest matchup in the state of Virginia this year. That's what some are saying.
Just tonight, though. Probably the biggest matchup in the state tonight.
At Marshall High School.
At Marshall.
Right.
That's in Fairfax.
But I will be there.
Not far from Pittman Hills, regularly.
And then I'm going home to watch Colorado. And then for the next several months, I know what I'm doing.
It's pretty much locked in.
Parking in front of my TV. Football, man.
Football.
It's the thing. It's the thing you like and I like.
The thing.
We did it.
Fantasy drafts everywhere. So much DFS in my near future. Thinking, you know, I probably have the right lineup here to win all that money. Like, I got it. No one else does. I figured it out.
Not going to lose any leagues.
It's my best.
I'm only going to win leagues.
Yep.
David is in Sterling on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. David, we're talking Noah Brown and the Commanders. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just to start off, I watched your what you posted, Grant, yesterday of all his catches, and I really liked what I saw. There was just catches over the middle, seemed like 15 to 20 yards every time. Him taking defenders, another 5 yards. I think it's actually going to be a pretty good marriage for us. I'm looking forward to watching it.
I mean, he just does some things that they don't really have guys doing here, based on being 6'2 and 215.
Yeah.
In breaking, digs type stuff, second level, behind, you know, linebackers. They needed it. They got it. And I'm happy that they did. We'll ask Adam Peters about the process that resulted in Noah Brown ending up in Washington and whether or not there were other teams vying for his services when Peters joins us. Among the other things we'll cover, Brandon Ayuk might come up here on Grant and Danny. Adam Peters, 4:15 today, live right here on the Fan, so make sure you're listening. But what about those totals I threw at you? Let's go over under. Catches 49.5.
So I think just under that. I see basically 3 catches a game when you average it out. I think there's going to be a couple of weeks he doesn't see many targets, just not what it's in the game plan. It's going to be ground and pound, close to the line of scrimmage. Say you're playing the Giants or something like that, and you're in a rock fight and they got to win 16-12.
Well, let
something.
Me go back then. If you're looking at it as like averages per game, how soon, because it might not be week one, he's
right.
Learning a lot of the offense. How soon until you think he's actually a starter who's playing a lot?
A month?
Okay.
I mean, does that seem crazy?
And then you think he makes up for a little lost time to get to those averages.
Like, to me, the way he gets it is big plays. Like, that's why he's here. He's got that explosive thing. Otherwise, if you wanted someone to run another 7-yard hitch, Byron Pringle probably has 10 guys who could do that with him, you know? The special thing is that he's big and fast enough to go down the field over the top. So it's not going to be every week. And, I mean, think of the Deshaun Jackson ownership experience, right? Where you go, there are weeks it's 3 for 21 and there's not much happening. And then there's that 5-catch, 200-yard, 2-touchdown, and he can't go into the end zone normally. He has to like go sideways and then back in, and he's already doing the celebration and he barely crossed the goal line while still holding the football. That's the experience. I'm not saying you're going to get that because Deshaun Jackson's one of a kind, but that sort of deal, he's going to end up, I think, with over the yardage totals, but under the catch totals.
So the 499.5, you would go over?
I think he goes over 500.
Wow.
And so it's probably, you know, in that 550 range with about 46 catches. That's what I got.
I'm under on both. I'm saying like 40-ish catches for like 425 yards. Danny, I'm going to be elated if he's in the 500s. So you've got him number two on the team among receivers only.
Yes.
Like tight ends, running backs, whatever.
I think he's fourth on the team in catches, second among receivers.
And if he's over 500 yards, he's probably in the top three in terms of receiving yards total. I don't know if Ertz is going to be healthy enough to get there. If he is, he'll get over that. Eckler very possibly is going to be over that. But McLaurin's the only guy that if healthy, would be a lock to surpass that receiving total. So as excited as I am about this, it sounds like you even think this is going to be a more impactful, immediate return.
Yeah, because this has been my stance, and everybody's going to make fun of me for saying the same thing. Their receiver room's not very good outside of Terry McLaurin.
Wait, hang on a second. Let me give up a pencil.
Yeah, write this down.
I haven't heard you mention this yet.
I've only been bringing it up since the end of last season.
You're the only one.
Here is...
Let me hear you say it.
Here is the opportunity. The opportunity's right there. There's no Curtis Samuel. There's no Jahan Dotson. Even if there was, he would have been the second best receiver in this room. Now there's especially no Jahan Dotson because he was traded away for a future draft pick. The opportunity is golden. I don't think they're going to heavily feature it and do it like... I would like it done to have it more wide open and do more to help Jaden Daniels. I think they're going to run and do things close to the line of scrimmage and feature Eckler, Ertz, and maybe Sinnott as the year goes on. But there's an opportunity here for him to catch some passes and be explosive.
My only cold water that I would offer pouring, I'm not going to dump it on you, ALS Ice Bucket Challenge style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get a little bit of cold water in a cup, okay?
Sure.
I'm just going to sit it next to you.
Go ahead.
I do wonder a little bit. He was in a Shanahan offense with Bobby Slowick running the Texans offense, who's a head coaching candidate, was interviewing for jobs, including this one, I believe, this offseason. And he played with an outstanding quarterback. C.J. Stroud last year was a top 10 guy in the league. You could even have said a lot of weeks was at a top 5 level in football. Whether he does that again as a sophomore, where you'd rank him, doesn't really matter. I'm not concerned with that. But he played at that level last year. You're no longer in that kind of offense. We're hoping Cliff Kingsbury delivers the goods. But I don't have the same confidence in his scheme that I do in the Shanahan scheme that has taken the league by storm and everyone's trying to replicate. And I hope that Jaden Daniels is really good, but I don't know if he's C.J. Stroud. So I do think, in the same way, remember when we were talking about a possible Ayuk trade, you and I kept coming back to two big questions. How much of his production is like the guys around him and being in the Shanahan offense? And then the other one was like, how much of his production is essentially the fact that he is schemed open, so to speak? I think you could still ask some of those questions about Noah Brown too, and maybe the faders get turned down on those important elevating categories around him. Now, I still think with his size and the way he runs routes, all you got to do is be better than Diami Brown, who's never caught 15 balls, and Zacchaeus, who caught 10 last year, and you'll play and you'll help.
This is kind of my point.
And maybe that's the answer, but I do wonder about that a little bit. Like,
I think it's fair to wonder.
7 for 170 in a game probably had more to do with situation than just this guy's ready to go do that regularly.
And that's why I'm not calling for it. That's why I'm not telling you they just unearthed the next gem that's going to catch 65 balls for 1,000 yards. I don't think that's the case. I think they got a nice complimentary piece who, by standing taller than really short folks, will thrive, quote unquote, in his role. Mid-40s catches and like 550 yards is not setting the world on fire. That's less than, Jake Ferguson, a tight end, did last year.
I like this too. Nikki Javala of the Washington Post tweeted this a minute ago. Jaden Daniels, after practice, getting in extra reps, walking through details of routes with wide receiver Noah Brown.
Oh, yes. Practice. Give me that immediately.
So your quarterback being a leader, just let's get this dude up to speed. He can help me. I can help him. Let's help each other together. Adam Peters, GM of the Commanders, who traded for picks yesterday in the John Ridgeway deal and acquired Noah Brown via free agency, will join the show at 4:15. We'll ask him about those moves and many of the other big decisions he's made since taking over the team. That's coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes, so spread the word. Adam Peters, right here on Grant and Danny at 4:15. We've also got Ben Standig of The Athletic on the Commanders today at 6. But next, let's get you ready for a big night and a massive season of college football with Danny Cannell right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.